You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is an opportunity now for the Raiders.
Adams, he's got it!
47 seconds left, no timeouts.
Receiver falls down, and the Chiefs will win this game.
How's that for some Monday Night Football? Keyshawn, J. Will, the Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPNU. Your smart speakers, your podcast. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas in for J. Will today. You can be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN. Guys, we haven't gotten to calls in a while. We're going to get some calls today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper and college football season. Without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. And we could talk about all people are going to want to talk about the roughing the passer call, the decision to try to punch in the extra, you know, go for two instead of kick the extra point. There's lots of stuff to talk about today. And you can call in, 888-SAY-ESPN. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Harry. It's a good game.
Man, not bad.
Dramatic.
Not bad football, right? Except the referees, man. They literally are trying to turn this into 7-on-7 football.
Yeah, man.
Just eliminate the offense alignment. They should just, you know, the snap thing, Harry, that we use in 7-on-7, the automatic machine. They might as well just have an automatic machine and put the stopwatch on the quarterback at 4 seconds he has to deliver the football. That way we won't have to worry about quarterbacks getting touched, hit, nothing at all.
Well, I think it's that, two things, right? That and these analytics are getting out of control, Key. Like, they really are in my
analytics.
Eyes. They're getting out of control. Like, I understand, and I'm not against analytics.
I am.
It's just that I don't understand that how can analytics understand the feel of the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the component of analytics that I don't understand. You even seen a guy like Keenan Allen tweet during Sunday's game, like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Talking about his head coach, Brandon Staley. These analytics are getting out of control.
How did it affect yesterday? So let's back it up a little bit. We're talking about here roughing the passer call.
Yep.
That was on Chris Jones. Chris Jones on Derek Carr.
Yep.
Where he sacked him and he fell on top of him like there was no other place to go. It was part of the process of tackling him, right? And they call roughing the passer because his body weight landed on him. I mean, it's getting out of control.
How can he's taking a ball, ripping a ball from him. How can he stop from falling? How could you stop 300? What is it, about 330? How can you stop 330 pounds from going to the ground?
Think about the philosophy. What makes football different than, say, a combat sport? Is in boxing or MMA, the point is the physical destruction of your opponent, right? Like, that's the point. In football, the violence is kind of incidental to what you're trying to do. You're just allowed to use it. But if you can't not use it in order to make the play, what are you supposed to do?
That's,
in order to stop the quarterback, there's going to be some incidental violence there. You can't help that.
But that wasn't violence. That's normal. That is normal one-on-one tackling of the quarterback.
That is a violent thing to do. It's like, but that's the point. You can't not do it.
That's the whole point. Like you're saying, Max, you got to do it. What are you gonna do?
Well, I ask him to
give you the ball.
Hey, sir, fellas, give me the ball.
I seen a play in that game yesterday where a wide receiver was slung down. Like I seen Tua Tagovailoa get slung down on third down football.
Yeah.
I mean, on Thursday Night Football a few weeks ago. And the first thing I said to myself, why is that not a flag? If the Tom Brady one is a flag. Are we not protecting all players? We just protecting quarterbacks in today's game?
It elevated since Tua's injury. It has elevated protecting a quarterback to a whole nother level. You mentioned a receiver getting slung down to the ground. How about when Kelce, everybody made fun of the MMA tackle on Kelce in the Charger game by Derwin James.
Yeah.
That was like some wrestling stuff. That's violent. Why didn't they throw a flag then? They allowed him to suplex this dude.
Can't touch the quarterback, especially after what happened to Tua. It seems like they're on heightened. It feels like everyone's on heightened alert. The refs feel that way. By the way, Chiefs beat the Raiders. Let's back all the way up. Chiefs beat the Raiders 30-29 after the Raiders jumped out to a 17-0 lead. Never felt to me like the Chiefs were out of that game. Even early on, I had the Chiefs to get them.
I took the little, you know, I had some issues with our producer, James Steele. And I told him if he didn't stop picking on me that I was going to do a little bit of magic on Kansas City. The Raiders got out to a 17-0 lead. And then he apologized. Right when he apologized, I said, okay, I'm sorry.
Got it.
And took it back. They scored. Then Kansas City made it 17-7. And then from there, it was 17-10 going into half. And then all of a sudden, it turned to something. It was 20-17 going into half. And it turned to something else.
I've believed that stuff since I was a little kid. My dad would tell me, you're making too much noise during Reggie Jackson's at-bats. And when I quieted down, he hit a home run.
But
that's
Patrick
right.
Mahomes,
the sports gods, don't anger them.
Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy are ridiculous tandem together. I mean, it's just, it makes no sense how Patrick Mahomes could do some of the things magically delivering that football. And then Travis Kelce, as I said, everybody was going crazy about Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is a magical guy, no question about it. But that offense has always gone through Kelce. And when they didn't lose Kelce, I told James, our producer, I told him, Harry, I said, man, don't even worry about it. Y'all good. Y'all still got the main guy. Y'all got the main guy in this passing attack.
That as you said, Key's definition of the number one receiver, whatever position he technically plays, the X, Y, Z, the tight end, is the guy who the offense runs, who the passing offense runs through. That's the number one receiver, and that has always been Travis Kelce. And he grabbed four touchdown passes yesterday.
I think that's one of the things that's mind-boggling to me, because I thought the Raiders did a phenomenal job outside of the tight red zone or minimizing Travis Kelce and his catching abilities. And
how many yards did he wind up with, Harry?
Hold on, I'm about to tell you.
25, yo.
25 yards.
Catches. Not enough.
How do you not double him in the tight red zone? Who else are they going to?
Yeah, it's not.
Key. Who else are they going to, Key?
Him.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know exactly the numbers in my head, but his touchdown numbers over the last several years are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a red zone guy. I mean, he's a big body.
Yep.
They don't have a large receiver. The largest receiver they have pretty much is Juju, and that's not a red zone guy. I mean, he's their red zone target. You double him, much like you said, you vice him, you in and out him. If you decide to in and out him left and right, or put a guy in front of him, a guy with the top of him, you don't allow him to run free. That's just not what you do.
I played with Tony Gonzalez, and I think it was the New England Patriots. When we got to that tight red zone, you know, want to know what they did? Viced him.
Oh, yeah.
Put two people right in front of him.
Yeah.
So they didn't even let him off the line of scrimmage.
What number was Tony?
88.
Yeah, they would go double 88. That's their call. That's Belichick's call, double 88.
We're not letting him off the line of scrimmage.
176.
Unbelievable.
All right, listen. Listen, there's a lot to get to in the game from last night. Chiefs over Raiders 30-29 after falling down 17-0. Mahomes leaves them all the way back. And by the way, spreading the ball around on one drive, third down, I think it was like third and eight, he hits, was it Juju? And then on the next day, and it's second and eight, and he's everyone's touching the ball and he's putting it around. He's spreading it around.
Nine different people, Max. Nine different people yesterday caught a pass. And that's why I think this offense is a little bit more scarier than it was last year. It's phenomenal when you have a guy that can take a 5-6 yard pass.
Oh, to the house. Go to distance. No question.
But
Valdez Scantling, it was.
You don't know who's getting the football. And then you get to the tight red zone, you know who's getting the football, and you don't double them. But when you're outside of the tight red zone and you don't know who's actually getting the football, I think you become more scarier, because it's forcing Patrick Mahomes to be more of a quarterback going through reads versus just relying on two guys.
And the next time that they play, people will not allow Kelce to do that. These other guys
will eat.
Yep. That's what will happen.
And in the meantime, Patrick Mahomes passes Troy Aikman on the all-time touchdown list. They didn't mention it in the game. I thought that was weird. I figured that Aikman would mention it. I mean, it's like, you know.
They probably mentioned. You probably just missed it.
Probably ran into the bathroom. But that's fast, man. In the he started four seasons. He's not even halfway through his fifth season. Just passed Troy Aikman with four touchdowns.
Different era
on Monday Night Football.
I don't care who's on your roster. You got Patrick Mahomes, man. You have a chance.
Right now, tied.
And Eric Bieniemy.
Tied with Josh Allen, 78.5 QBR. That leads the league, other than Tua, whom we'll see what happens. and 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns, two interceptions. I mean, the dude is balling as always. So here's our parlay from yesterday. Key took the over on Mahomes' total passing yards, 278.5. He hit 292. I took the over on total passing touchdowns, 2.5. He had 4. Harry took the over on Devontae Adams' total reception, 6.5. Now, he had 124 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns. He dropped one.
He dropped one.
But
and
that
then,
don't count,
just
Harry.
Relax, Key. Let me explain myself.
He had three receptions.
And then Derek Carr missed him on 2 go routes.
Yep.
I know Devontae Adams was saying, why in the hell did I leave Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers is frustrated. Devontae Adams is frustrated. The damn marriage should have stayed together.
Yeah, oh, that's a good point. We're going to get into that too. There's so much to get into. We still haven't talked about the decision to go for 2, which was pivotal at the end of the game for the Raiders. Does the NFL have a problem with the interpretation of the roughing the passer rule?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
So we're still talking about the decision to go for 2. We're going to get into that in the show in a little while, but the roughing the passer call really costs our very own Alan Yates, who is a degenerate gambler.
Yeah.
And
sad.
No, but a parlay guy. So Yates.
How did it affect you, Yates?
What happened?
So amongst all the other bets that I put in, one that I really was confident about was Chiefs to just win by 1.5, you know, a.k.a. 2 points. Mm. So I'm watching the game. I see the first quarter. Second quarter. It's about to end. Roughing the passer call, Chris Jones got the rock, extends the play, extends the drive. Now all of a sudden it's 14, goes from 14-0, 17-0. So that 3 points is very pivotal in this matchup right now, Max.
Yeah.
And then
was it a leg of a parlay for you?
It was the last leg of a teaser.
Oh.
Simple teaser. -1.5. I'm not asking for too much.
But Yates, a lot of times, will put 20 bucks down. He'll put 20 bucks down on a 14-leg parlay.
And the second to last one misses,
and he would have made $1 million.
I hear that a lot coming from Yates. So you might want to do something different in the gambling.
But, Keith, you got to see what's going
on.
1-800-GAMBLER. Nah, see, y'all not understanding me. That's supposed to not happen. Even with the game script happening how it's supposed to happen, Josh McDaniels, if you just go and kick the field goal to be 30-30,
yeah, I don't.
They have to cover the spread for me to in order for
not, Harry. You mean kick the extra point? Yeah.
Harry say this analytics is getting out of hand.
Listen,
man.
I tweeted right. I said WTF, and we all know what that stands for. I don't understand football in 2022. I'm on the 20th floor of my hotel room. I peeked out my window.
I'm on the
right,
second floor.
I peeked out my window. I said it. Nah, I love my family. I'm not jumping. Yeah. I said, but this is getting out of control.
Here, the thing about analytics that people, and I'm pro analytics. The thing about analytics people don't understand, it's just a tool. It's one tool among many that helps you make a decision.
Yeah.
You can't be a slave to the analytics, but just like you shouldn't ignore it because it's valuable information. The job of a head coach is to take in the information, figure out what to do. That's all info. Then you got to figure out a plan. And sometimes that's the determining factor, and people get mad when it doesn't work. When it does work, they like it better. They went.
Analytics. I won a lot of games in my career, and I lost a lot of games in my career. And I ain't never heard nothing about no damn analytics. And I studied because my coaches studied.
Because they called it different things back then. It's just rational approach to what you're doing.
It cannot measure the feel of the game.
Right. That's why you need to be judicious with how you use the information.
Thank goodness John Harbaugh decided to kick a field goal.
The extra point.
Yeah, at that point in the game, there was enough time left. You probably should have kicked the extra point.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If that Brady call happened in a playoff game, they would be already planning the 30 for 30.
When you tackle somebody, you know what happens? Your body weight goes on top of that human being.
What are you supposed to do?
We all know the NFL wants to protect the quarterback, but you've got to protect the integrity of the game and the competition.
This is absolute trash, right? This is you taking the livelihood of 53 players, of coaches and staff, and putting it in your hands, balling it up like this, and going Kobe into the garbage can.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. If you have a phone in your pocket, which everyone does, you have us with you. We're portable.
Yes,
live.
That is correct.
Go to the ESPN app on the lower right-hand corner. You see more. Click on that, scroll down, and listen live. Boom. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Does the NFL have a problem with this roughing the passer rule, the way the refs are enforcing it, their interpretation of it? How should they enforce the roughing the passer rule? We are going to take calls today. We haven't been so great about that recently.
Well, you're the one that's supposed to be taking them.
But I love the sound of my own voice for some reason.
We all could attest to that.
By the way, Key, I like your jersey, my man.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts.
I know. Why are you looking around like that? I just said I like your jersey. Thank you, Harry. Appreciate that.
That's all you got to say, Jalen Hurts.
I know. Are you looking around?
You said earlier you liked it.
I know, but I want the people to know I like it.
Oh, yeah. Harry supporting Jalen Hurts, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why it took you so long to get on board. I've been pulling the Jalen Hurts
way. Okay, sure. I'm not an Eagle fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a Jalen Hurts fan. I'm going to put that out there, let everybody know.
Yeah.
I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm a Jalen Hurts fan. So wherever Jalen Hurts is at, I'm rolling with Jalen Hurts.
I'm a Giants.
And not because Jalen Hurts is hot right now.
Yeah.
I've been rocking with Jalen Hurts all the way since Alabama when he – You know.
But he is hot, though, right now.
Oh, yeah. No, he's smoking
hot. He's balling.
He's smoking hot. I just felt like, you know, I got to support him.
Already.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. That's just
He's an easy – listen, I'm a Giants fan. Jalen Hurts is easy to like. I don't know. I can't say root for because I'm a Giants fan. But he's easy to. He's a leader. Everything checks all the boxes.
He's a coach's son.
He's a coach's son. Tall, got the long hair.
No, not long hair.
But might as well, Keith.
Strong.
Same sort of thing.
Squatting 650.
Yeah.
He's a coach's son. Very smart. You got to remember that. Extremely smart.
Oh, clearly.
Both academically and on the football field.
And a leader. You could see it when
you're the coach's son now. Trust me, I got experience. Hey, you're going to do what I ask you to do. If nobody listens, you're going to listen. Coach's son mindset has to be different from everybody else's.
And the players didn't like you in Pop Warner, huh?
It's all good. They couldn't do nothing about it. I got a brother. It's two of us.
Yeah, your dad wasn't worried about that. He had one kid going to the NBA, one kid going to the NFL.
Yeah,
he did
course,
fine.
But when you're a coach's son, though, Max, and Pop Warner,
you had some issues.
I didn't like that kid, though.
You had some issues.
Because he's going to play quarterback.
Everything.
No matter what.
He's going to play running back. They go, he can't throw from here, me to you.
He's not,
quarterback.
He's not coming out the game.
He ain't never coming out the game. It ain't never his fault. He going to cry. They going to put the arms around him, walk him to the car, all that. Blame the other kid.
Hey, no, not my daddy, though. I'm riding home with mama. No, boy, get in this car with me.
Yeah. No, he was rougher on you than the other kids.
I knew I shouldn't have struck out today.
Yeah, I could say when I coached my son, it was just, and my nephew, as my nephew got older, he would wave me off. He got older and he felt, yeah, I'm the man now. Quiet, man. You know, my son wouldn't even say nothing to me. He'd go to the other end of the bench because I'm just chewing him up, barking.
No, he didn't do you like that, Keith.
Oh, Mikey did me this. We're going to move on. We were playing. No, he was playing in high school, and I said something to him. You know, and he hit me with the.
So what we were going to talk about was the refs roughing the passer calls. The call against the Chiefs, so is the latest example. Carl Cheffers said, this is the quote, okay? The quarterback is protected from being tackled with full body weight. The fact that Jones took the ball away was irrelevant. My ruling was roughing the passer for that reason. Guys, if the rule states you can't under any circumstances tackle the quarterback with full body weight, then the issue is not with the refs. The issue is with the rule. That is an absurd rule because there will be times where in order to make the play, your body weight's going to be on the quarterback. This is tackle football.
It's not times. It's every time, Max. Guys are going to land on a quarterback. How else are you going to tackle him, Harry? If you grab him and pull him down by the back of the jersey, that's the horse collar.
Yep.
If you hit him below the waist, they're going to say you're attacking him below the waist at the knees. If you hit him in their shoulder pad, your helmet is going to hit underneath their chin. Like, so what they should do is just turn it into 7-on-7. Eliminate the offensive lineman.
Well, I'm looking at Max Crosby get the first sack yesterday, right? And you could tell he don't even want to bring Patrick Mahomes down because he's seeing what happened to Grady Jarrett. He's seen what happened to Tua Tagovailoa. So you as a defensive lineman, you got to fight through offensive linemen who already are bigger than you. Then you got to try to torque your body a certain way. You're a big dude. And defensive linemen are very, very athletic. But at the same time, you're asking defensive players to do too many things.
3 years ago when Brady was with the New England Patriots and they played Kansas City, it was egregious. The guy, I don't remember who it was.
Linebacker.
Was it Chris Jones or was this a linebacker?
When they wrapped him up and he let Brady walk in. Oh, the roughing the passer.
Roughing
call.
The passer. Yeah.
I think it was Chris Jones.
All he did was attack like he was supposed to, push the offensive lineman into Brady, reach over his arm, over his shoulder pad, and swipe Brady in the chest. Man, it was Chris Jones.
That was the worst roughing the passer call I've ever seen. I've never seen a worse one than that. That's the worst one of all time.
All he did was swipe him on the shoulder, and they gave it to the rest of the passer.
But here's what you're saying, Key, that just jogged something in my head. You know what I realized? What you're saying is right. Horse collar, landing with the weight. What they are doing, and they don't even realize it, is step by step walking toward a situation where the sack of the quarterback will just be a metaphor. It won't even be a literal sack anymore. You will not be allowed to sack the quarterback. What will happen is when a player gets to the quarterback, they're going to call the play dead. They're going to count it as a sack.
Well, they did last
They won't
night.
Even let him touch him.
To
like, that's
Crosby.
What's coming.
Well, that's happened a couple times in the league. It happened once when we played. And like I said it yesterday, Simeon Rice had the quarterback in the grass, kind of just let him go. And the dude ran out of the pocket, threw the ball, you know, big game. We was like, we thought she was getting ready to blow the whistle.
Yep.
And this was way back then.
No, that's going to count as a sack. Before too long, the tackle football will be played in the NFL where you're not going to see an actual sack of a quarterback. It's just going to be like, oh, that stands for a sack. The defender got there and he touched him, two-hand touch style.
Yeah.
And they're good. Because otherwise, how do you do it? You can't do it anymore.
Yeah, they probably should put some sort of thing on only the quarterback jerseys, like a powder or something, where if you go past him, you touch it, it automatically turns into a sack.
The defensive player from Miami a few years ago, I believe, tore his ACL trying to torque his body a certain way.
That's right.
So he didn't get a roughing the passer call.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's getting out of hand. Man.
Yeah, it's the rules and it's the referees. It's a combination of both.
You know, as a fan, how much I used to like watch Lawrence Taylor sack the quarterback? And it was because it was violent. Like, that's part of what people like
that,
about
But Chris Jones wasn't – that wasn't violent last
night. No.
Grady James wasn't violent.
It wasn't violent.
That was in the course of doing business, man. That was ridiculous. 888-SAY-ESPN. What do you think about the roughing the passer rules and the way they're being enforced? And do you think it is connected to what happened to Tua Tagovailoa? Key will give you his rankings of the top NFL teams coming up. Will my New York Giants, who he had ninth, and he was mocked for having them ninth, will they crack the top five after they beat the Packers?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Time for Key's Real Rankings. These are the best teams in the NFL Week 5.
That is correct. They got a little odds here from Caesars Sportsbook. These odds are not Keyshawn Johnson's odds. We'll sit at number 8, though.
Number 8.
The Minnesota Vikings are 18-1 on their odds. Now, look, Minnesota
to win the Super Bowl.
To win the Super Bowl, that is correct. When you look at Minnesota, I like this football team. I like what they're capable of doing. For some reason, though, I just don't feel – the Kirk Cousins love. I feel like at the end of the day, he's going to have to play a primetime game. It is going to go south.
Number 7.
Number 7, Max, you'll be happy. Last week, the New York Giants was sitting at number 9. They moved all the way up to number 7. They got two spots,
two
Max.
Two spots, that's all right.
Two spots.
I didn't think they were top 9 last week.
And they're sitting at 60-1 Bing to bong. Win it all on the odds book. So the Giants are doing well. Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, I think is changing a lot of people's minds in front offices to see him playing under Brian Daboll and some of the things he's capable of doing. He pulled the okey-doke on the Green Bay Packers with the ankle. The scouting report said the ankle was a problem. It certainly didn't look like it. A couple big runs by him.
Number 6.
Number 6, the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are 14-1 to win it all. All people do is complain about Jimmy Garoppolo. He can't do this. He can't do that. They can't win with Jimmy G. Well, ever since he took over at quarterback, it seems like they've been winning. And I don't know how you explain that at all, but maybe Mike Tannenbaum will be able to explain it when we get him on with us shortly here. The San Francisco 49ers sit at 6.
Number 5.
Number 5 of the Baltimore Ravens, 14-1 to win it all. Now, look, the Ravens took care of business against the Cincinnati Bengals, who seem to be playing good football, and at times – they just seem can't get out of their way. They can't protect the quarterback when they need to, and they can't seem to stop Lamar Jackson. Well, a lot of people can't stop Lamar Jackson, but also Lamar is the MVP right now, in my opinion. But many people will say based on Patrick Mahomes last night, he surpassed him. That's not the case in my eyes. The Baltimore Ravens 14-1 to win it all, sitting at 5.
Number 4.
Number 4, the team that most people hate, especially on the East Coast when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Giants, the Washington Commanders. I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys. They sit at number 4 with 18-1 to win it all. And how about this for you? Cooper Rush is fighting to keep his job We'll see what happens this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. We know that CeeDee Lamb is starting to come up, but he got to catch the ball. He can't keep fumbling Lamborghinis, Max. He's got to hold on to him. And then when you talk about running the football, they're doing their best at doing it. Defensively, we don't even need to have that conversation. We know what the defense is all about.
Number three,
the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills have the shortest odds to win it all. They are +350 to win it all. I think, though, based on the way that they've played, the way they handle business against the Pittsburgh Steelers, that they probably will win it all. Certainly will probably be in the Super Bowl. They got going to see the Kansas City Chiefs, possibly see the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game. We'll see how that pans out for them.
Number two,
the team we saw last night, the Kansas City Chiefs, +650 to win it all. Now, Kansas City just needs to shore up their defense, and they usually do come playoff time. They get tired. Their defense hasn't been all that bad. Last night, though, they allowed Derek Carr and Devontae Adams to go over the top a couple times on them, but they closed it when they needed to. They won the game. I think that's all that really matters. As long as you got Patrick Mahomes, you got an opportunity and a chance, along with, I said, Eric Bieniemy.
Number one.
And sitting at number one, the Philadelphia Eagles +700 or -7 to win it all. Whichever one you want to call. Jalen Hurts is the man right now. As you can tell, I'm wearing his jersey. Not because I'm an Eagle fan, but I'm a Jalen Hurts fan. When you look at what he's capable of doing, he's not turning the football over at a record rate. They're running the football crazy. They're playing defense. That recipe will always put you in a Super Bowl. If you can run, if the quarterback can limit his mistakes and you can play lights-out defense, you're going to win it all. And he's certainly headed down the right track. That's my top eight this week. It could change next week, though, Max.
These rankings are brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. I think that's a pretty good – you know what? I would have the – only thing I would say is I would have the Niners higher since Jimmy G took over. I think
higher
they're
than
legit
who?
I would jump them over the Ravens and Cowboys. I put them fourth.
Yeah, I ain't would, jumping them over no Cowboys.
I would too, though.
Yeah, I would too.
I love the defense and D'Amico Ryans, man. What he's been able to do with that defense. The only thing about them, Emmanuel Moses just tore his ACL. That's going to be a big loss for him.
Let's ask an ESPN NFL front office insider, our very own personal GM on this show, Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, what do you think of Key's real rankings?
I thought it was pretty good, but from a GM perspective, the best player out there that's going to impact this rankings is Dak Prescott. They have the best defense in captivity right now, better than your 49er defense. And when they get Dak Prescott back, I think they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. I think they're the best team in the NFC. I think they're going to beat Philadelphia. And when you look at the AFC, I think it's a Kansas City-Buffalo coin toss. But they, to me, are the best team in the NFC. They've won four games in a row. Head coach of the year candidate, Mike McCarthy. We should all get used to saying that. And to me, because of that dominant defense, when they get Dak back, they're the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, but right now, they're one game behind the Philadelphia Eagles. They see Philly this weekend, and that's why I said it'll change. If they take care of Philly in Philly, whether it's Dak Prescott or Cooper Rush, they can jump up. And I think they are a better defense than the San Francisco 49ers. And look.
Yeah, more explosive.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, San Francisco and D'Amico Ryans has done a tremendous job, no question about it. There's not much difference between the quarterbacks in my eye, whether Cooper Rush or Jimmy Garoppolo, because all they're asked to do is not screw it up. And if they don't screw it up, you see what you get, the results. And so we'll see what happens with Philadelphia in Dallas this week. If Dallas beats them, Dallas will certainly
jump. Let me say one thing
up.
About the Eagles, though, Mike, that right now they might be a tad underrated by people thinking, well, really, because they lost 3/5 of their offensive line. Against Arizona, they come in down a man, and then they lose Kelsey, and they, like, all of a sudden they're playing with two starters on the line, so it was a close game. When that line comes back healthy, the Eagles, if you took, yeah, the Cowboys have a better defensive front, but if you averaged out the line of scrimmage, offense and defense, Eagles probably got the best one in the NFL, right? That means a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, Jalen Hurts is playing great. They have a great offense line, taking nothing away from them. I'm just saying that you've won four games in a row. If you're Dallas and you're getting back, we could quibble, is Dak top six, top 10? He's a really good quarterback.
Top six quarterback?
Dak Prescott, absolutely.
Top six quarterback?
Dak Prescott's a really good quarterback. And we talked about this yesterday. If we had one game to go play a game, I would take Dak Prescott over Jalen Hurts.
Not me.
Okay. Well, one of these days we're going to get Dak against Jalen. And
so one game, Mike?
How's it look better, Hurts or Dak?
Who is he throwing to, though?
No, that's fair. That is totally fair. I would take Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, no question about it. And look, not having Amari Cooper may make the difference at the end of the day, but they do have CeeDee Lamb. They do have Noah Brown has emerged for them.
CeeDee Lamb got to catch the damn football, Mike.
He has to be a little bit more consistent.
Got to catch the football.
Yeah.
He's got the case of the dropsies.
Yeah, but he has the ability to be a frontline number one receiver.
Yeah, but not if he's dropping. Like I said, when you're out there, think of it this way. You got one of them big old Bentleys out in Florida somewhere. Imagine every time they throw you one, you drop it. Like, he's got to be more consistent at catching the football, because there's going to be a pivotal point, as you know, throughout this season. At some point, they're going to depend on him, and if he drops it, it's going to cost
him. It's a Bugatti all of a sudden, right? Like, at that point, you're dropping a house, not a car.
I actually like Noah Brown, though. A lot of people got to understand, why is Cooper Rush finding Noah Brown so much? When there's two guys that have been on the second team for so long, and they're doing things together, he's going to throw the football to who he's comfortable with. Noah Brown is a security blanket. That's why he's throwing the ball to him so much.
And Baltimore sitting at five, the quarterback is everything, right? Lamar Jackson, he's the MVP. He's everything. Without him in that lineup, this team wouldn't even have a chance. Now, look, they're sitting at 3-2. They beat a Cincinnati team that I think won two or three in a row. But he certainly has taken care of business. Now, he won this football game with just Duvernay out there at the receiver spot because Rashad Bateman did not play. Mark Andrews is the only other, I guess you could call,
skill position. He won the game because he was better than Joe Burrow. Like, he was better than
absolutely.
Joe Burrow, and so his team won. That's what he has to do every week. Lamar's got to be better than the other quarterback, and then they can win, but he's doing everything.
He certainly is. In Minnesota sitting, Kirk Cousins, I mean, let's see.
Key, I'm surprised that you don't have Tampa over Minnesota. I mean, all it is Tom Brady and a top five defense.
Yeah, but they don't look right. They just don't look right yet. So, don't mean that they're not sitting at nine. I don't have nine up there. They might be at nine.
So how about this stat, guys? There's only been 27 plays so far this season that Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, and Mike Evans have been on the field together. So to me, they're another team that, how can they get better if they can get healthy?
If they can get healthy, they're not out of it, but they need to get healthy. They just don't look right. Something about them don't look right. Even with the top flight defense, Kansas City went in there and unleashed on them 2 weeks ago. So it's like,
Key, I'd be willing to bet that the reason Brady looks a little old recently is he's been going through a lot in his personal life.
I'm sure.
And think about it. You have O-line problems, your receivers aren't on the field, and you're going through everything he's going through. You're probably not going to look right at any age, let alone at 45. But, Mike T, to your point, if you just project forward, which this list doesn't do, Key's list is talking about what's happened so far, like right now, how's it look? But projecting forward, who has the Bucs in the NFC? Great defense, the receivers get healthy, money on the line, Tom Brady, they got a pretty good shot.
Which one of these teams on this list of the top eight should go and raid the Carolina Panthers roster?
Buffalo Bills. Go back to last year, you know, Von Miller, OBJ, they go to the Rams, they get it done. Buffalo's sitting right there, and I'm looking for any way to get over the hump against Kansas City, Cincinnati, Baltimore. Go get Christian McCaffrey if you're Buffalo.
It take to get Christian McCaffrey, though?
McCaffrey on Buffalo. It's not even fair.
But are they going to use him, though? That's my thing, though.
He catch passes, too.
I understand that, but, like, when Josh Allen is tied for with your running back for leading rushing yards in the game, and then last year he was the second leading rusher by a small margin, are they technically going to use Christian McCaffrey?
Well, again, they should. I mean, he's a great weapon. And Key, to your question, I give up a second-round pick. It's probably going to be a low second-round pick. And, look, they have some good backs in Singletary, drafted Cook. But to me, if you can get Christian McCaffrey, go back to the Rams a year ago, all in, and it worked. And why not if you're Buffalo? Like, you're looking for any margin against Kansas City, against Cincinnati, against Baltimore.
Considering that Brandon Beam has a relationship with the Carolina Panthers from his past when he worked there, that sounds
If you put McCaffrey
doable.
On the Bills, Key,
Josh Allen is the leading rusher right now.
Yeah, but you know, Harry, he might not compile the number on the Bills, but in big moments, there's a dynamic weapon that you have to account for if you're the defense, right? Like, I don't like the Bills to win the Super Bowl right now. You put McCaffrey on that team, who would you pick against the Bills?
San Francisco and use him too. They probably don't have picks, though.
Well, yeah, they gave up their first-round pick to Miami as part of that.
Yeah, but I'm not giving up a one to get him.
Well,
right,
no,
but if you don't have
Shanahan
one, you don't like really other picks as well.
Yeah.
They're not doing that. They don't view the running back position like that.
Who?
The San Francisco 49ers. Oh, Shanahan and Lynch. They view the running back position.
Well, only reason why.
He's a flip of Debo. He does more than just a running back.
Yeah, but the only reason why I bring that up because there's a relationship and a family dynamic between Kyle Shanahan and McCaffrey's when he was a kid. The whole, you know, the whole cute story, so to speak.
I want to know right now, McCaffrey goes to the Bills. Are you picking them to win the Super Bowl? Because I would, even though running backs usually don't put a team over the top in people's minds or the odds makers' minds, McCaffrey on that team, it's too much at a certain point. I don't think you could beat him.
I don't know that I'm picking him to go to Super Bowl. It certainly strengthens their case, though.
Yeah. Right. He has to stay healthy. Lots of stuff has to happen. Yeah.
There's still that man, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
True. Who else can use him?
Well, Baltimore, you know, when you look at all the injuries they've had, certainly Kenyon Drake's, you know, until Dobbins comes back, they sort of like patchwork it. But again, because McCaffrey can catch the ball out of the backfield, imagine trying to defend Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, and Mark Andrews.
Do you think teams will start trying to raid, given the fact that you've been in the front office, Mike, and you've made deals and willing and dealing and doing that? Will teams try to go raid that roster? Not just for Christian McCaffrey. Can the Giants, for instance, can Robbie Anderson and Moore, DJ Moore, can the Giants say, okay, we need a receiver? Let's go see if we got something to give them.
Absolutely. And if we were running the Carolina Panthers key, I would say outside of guys like Brian Burns or Ike Ekwonu, everyone's available because there's such a gap right now between us. And look at the division. Look at how much better the Saints are. Look how much better the Bucs are. Like, they are a ways away. And until I want to get as many picks as possible so I know I have the quarterback position fortified. So outside of a great young pass rusher in Burns and a great young left tackle, I would consider everybody.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What does trading these guys do for Carolina, though? Is that going to do for them?
It puts you in the C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, the Will Levis conversation. And Matt Rhule didn't work out for a lot of reasons, guys. But when you look at it, it was P.J. Walker, Cam Newton, Sam Darnold, and Baker Mayfield.
Oh, God.
I mean, if I'm Tepper right now, the way I'm looking at this football team is that I'm trying to get one of these quarterbacks regardless at this moment. Like, and I'm doing everything and anything in my power to make sure my team is at the bottom. I know that's not how players and coaches think, but from a front office perspective, and you look at the Achilles heel of the Carolina Panthers the last few years, it's been a quarterback position. I need that franchise quarterback. So that's what I'm doing at this moment.
Yeah, and by the way, they have a good chance to wind up with a number one pick. Pittsburgh, too, by the way. Don't let Mike Tomlin wind up with a number one pick at a quarterback in there who's better than Pickett. But I'm telling everybody right now, Lamar Jackson's not going to play another season. I tell you, he's not going to do it on a franchise tag. He's not going to do it without a new deal. They might not want to guarantee him $300 million, which if he makes it through this season and does all these great things, it's not going to be no $250, which it probably is right now, right? Tepper's not scared. Like, I'm looking. That's close to Florida. That's a division. He needs a quarterback. He's not scared. And, Key, he's got that new money where you could put $300 million in escrow. It's no, you know, he can
new
do that.
New money? Hell, he got old money.
Yeah, right. He seems to be liquid enough to put a little $300 million in escrow.
Yeah, he'll spin.
If you really want to have speculation, so David Tepper used to be a minority owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I wonder if Mike Tomlin sits there and says, hey, you know, Sean Payton, he graduated with Drew Brees, became a free agent. I wonder if Mike Tomlin says, you know what? Wow, I could go to Carolina, have a top three pick, get a new quarterback, start fresh.
See, I don't think Coach T is like that, though. He's not looking to move around. He's a guy that likes stability and be stabilized. They would have to part ways, I think, for T to decide to pick up and go. You know what I'm saying? They would have to be like, you know, it's your time to get out of here. The Pittsburgh fans are sick and tired of you, that sort of thing. Let Terry Bradshaw say something again. Maybe he'll decide to leave. Since Terry
I want to stay on the Carolina good. Part of things, because when you look at this job, if you're a head coach coming in, because I know we're talking about trading some of their pieces away, especially if they're going to try to be in contention for a number one pick and get a quarterback. But if you're a head coach trying to come into Carolina, how good is this job, actually?
Well, if it's a top three pick, again, we're going to be saying the same until, you know, next February. But Sean Payton's going to say, like, if I could have Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, or Will Levis, that job looks a lot different than it does today coaching, you know, Baker Mayfield.
But it's the reason it's a good job is because if I'm Sean Payton, for instance, I have full control of everything. And I have an owner that's willing to spend. He displayed that by firing a coach five games in and still owe him north of $40 million. So he's like, I got a coach. I mean, I got an owner who will pay, get me everything I need. I could go build my staff up again. Now, I don't know whether or not Sean wants to be in the Carolinas, but that name is probably the hottest name on the board. Now, I'm sure there'll be the Lincoln Rileys of the world from a college standpoint. Well, he's already gone that route, obviously, with Matt Rhule. But you'll start to hear these names that's out there. Mike Tomlin, much like Mike is saying, his name will be floating out there. Raheem Moore's name will be floating out there. D'Amico Ryan's name will be floating out there. I was going to get there. Eric Bieniemy's will be. See, it's already ringing. Mike's on the call.
I could really embarrass my son right now who's FaceTiming me. He's going to high school. He has to wear a tie today, so we have to FaceTime on the break. So,
wait, where is he going? He needs a tie?
He's in high school. They have to wear a tie today to school, so he needs to FaceTime
with me.
What's
the day? Why?
They have dress-up day. So.
Dress-up day?
Yeah.
No lie. My father used to make me do that in high school, dress for success.
You had to wear a tie to high school?
A suit. One day a week, I wore a suit to high school.
With hard bottoms.
Yeah. My dad, man, he was preparing. Like, we did interviews.
Well, whatever he did, I mean, you made the leap.
Doing interviews and stuff while he's recording us. And he had the whole thing, man, mapping it out for us when we were little kids.
Find it all worked out for you.
Yeah, look at.
We find out there is no dress-up day. It's only in the Tannenbaum house's dress-up day.
No,
Dad, no one else is wearing a tie. Yeah. It worked for Harry Douglas, damn it.
Dress-up day, yeah. I don't think I was able to do that.
You were Chuck Taylor. You out there wearing Chucks every
day. You'll appreciate this, Keith. His head of school is Derek Mays, the former Notre Dame wide receiver.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's the head of school.
Oh, wow. Yeah. D. Mays.
Was dress-up day his idea?
I'll have to check with him.
We find out the percentage of Catholic people in the school. NFL played
it's not,
title.
But,
oh, okay. I would think it's D. Mays, Notre Dame guy.
Yeah.
So Baker's done as a starter, right? He's all done. And you're thinking C.J. Stroud maybe, or I'm thinking Lamar Jackson. But at any rate, what I like, I wanted to mention this about Tepper. I like what he did in Carolina because he had good enough. He had a quarterback and a coach that made the playoffs every other year. And every third or fourth year, they won a game or so. And he said, in the playoffs, and he said, you know what? I'm going to take – this is good. It's not good enough. I'm going to tear this down and swing for the fences.
Everybody keep talking about C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young. The kid from Kentucky. Levis.
Yeah.
Hooker from Tennessee. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
I know a quarterback.
He's been in college nine years too. So I don't care about that. No, I'm just saying he's not your normal. He's not going to be your normal rookie coming in. And we're actually doing college game.
He's like 34 years old now. How old is he?
That dude.
Key, we'll know a lot more about
that
him.
That dude.
They're playing Alabama coming up. Boy, that.
And I'll be honest with you. I actually think Tennessee's going to win that game this weekend in Knoxville. I can't wait to get there on Friday.
Man, he can spin it.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what's interesting about that, Key? Like, does Hendon Hooker and Josh Heupel become a package deal because that offense is hard to defend. Now, again, I don't think Carolina goes.
It's a little cringy sometimes. Hey,
yes or no, Mike, we have 7 seconds. Should the NFL make roughing the passer calls reviewable?
Yeah.
Coming up, we're getting into it. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.